Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. For years, those words have defined this cathedral community. They are on the cathedral's home page on their website. It is what visitors see when they first come. Priests offer those words as a preface to the Eucharist. Newcomers ask about them. Newcomers and old-timers alike find inspiration in them. Those words are more than a catchphrase, though. This idea of unconditional belonging lays claim to this great theological truth about Christian community and about God. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We worship a God who is gracious. That God continually extends an invitation for you and me to gather around all of the tables that God sets for us. That may be, but what about this morning's gospel? How does the cathedral's idea of belonging square up with what we just heard in this reading? The parable of the talents is one of those hard lessons in Scripture. It is tempting to preach on something, anything, other than this text, especially today. But you know what? Scripture finds us for a reason, and Jesus expects us to wrestle with the hard stuff, because that's how we grow. This parable of the talents is provocative. Three characters receive an unexpected windfall, which is really awesome. Two of the characters double their shares almost instantaneously, which is good for them, assuming that they earned those gains in some kind of a fair way. And then there is this third person. She guards her treasure like it is the most precious thing in the world. She plants it in the ground to keep it safe. And then she waits. And that's where this story takes a troubling turn. Playing it safe isn't so safe after all. Apparently, results matter. And when she fails to generate something more, there are consequences. In the world of the parable, it turns out that not everyone is welcome. Jesus, what is going on? One thing is clear. What you and I do with our lives matters. God cares deeply for you and me and longs for us to respond with that same attentiveness. And almost every sermon includes some version of that message. And that is good news. But parables always have more than one point. And what is clear at first is only one of many possibilities. Today's parable hinges on another question. Where is God in the story? Now, it is not uncommon to associate God with the master of a story. And in this parable, the underlying Greek text is ambiguous. The same word that is used for master could translate as a common master, or it could be the title that we bestow on Jesus as our Lord. So, God in this story could be the master. But if that's the case, I take issue, and I suspect that many of you do too, with some of God's behavior. God does not take away from the poor and give to the rich. Nor does God determine worthiness based on output. That is not a God that I want to follow, and I think many of us are exhausted by trying to follow that God. Jesus challenges us to imagine something different. The first two characters are rewarded for turning a profit, but this third one refuses to participate. She says no to a system that is founded on a principle of extraction rather than on generosity. She rejects fear in favor of love. She knows that while God's way can and is demanding, God is never harsh. Rather than earning a prophet, she becomes the prophet. Like Jesus, she speaks truth to power. Like Jesus, the system that she participates in and then rejects turns around and rejects her. And her rejection of the system becomes her own baptism. This parable is about finding another way, one that centers on God's hope for the world rather than our fears of it. And what appears to be a harsh message at first, I think turns out to be a pretty good lesson for baptism. Baptism affirms this inward reality that no matter who you are, you are beloved by God. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you are welcomed by God with great delight. What happens in baptism can never be undone, not by you, not by me, and certainly not by God. God's hope always rests in you. Baptism also reveals an outward reality. God sees differently than we do, and God hopes differently than we do too. Through the waters of baptism, we get a glimpse of God's dream for the world. This dream that love is the only thing that matters. And as Presiding Bishop Curry says, if it isn't about love, it isn't about God. The waters of baptism also begin to help us see our own illusions about ourselves and about the world in a different way. We begin to understand the chaos in and around us and how that chaos prevents God's way from unfolding. Baptism is one way that we say yes to God. It is our affirmation of God's dream. It starts to order our chaos. When we say yes because God speaks through us, not because God speaks at us. And we strive for God because God wants us to, not because we have to. It will take the rest of our lives to make this dream of God a reality, and God is okay with that. St. Clare of Assisi bears some resemblance to this prophet in our parable. Clare was raised in a wealthy Italian family in the 13th century. If she had wanted to, she could have inherited enough to guarantee a comfortable existence for the rest of her life. But instead, Clare chose another path. After she heard a single sermon by St. Francis, she turned away from her family inheritance. Some might say that she buried her talent. But you know what? By rejecting the easy way, Clare uncovered something else, her life. She went on to live the life that God dreamed for her. And in 1512, in 1215, Clare founded this first all-female Franciscan community. Today, over 20,000 people participate in the Order of Clare. And that makes Clare's order almost as large as the Diocese of Olympia. Clare trusted in God's promise of unconditional welcome and generous love. She chose to follow the good road. Jesus made that same choice, and Jesus invites all of us to make that choice too. Today, Lydia McNary Crosby begins her journey on that path. Lydia, your parents and your sponsors will guide you on that way. A wise elder who you will meet someday from the Tuesday Bible study put it this way. Rachel and Russ, Mary and Sandra, you promised today to Lydia that you will show up as this loving presence in her life. You are her spiritual giants. But you are not the only ones who make that promise. You do not do this alone. All of us who witness this baptism promise to offer counsel and celebration and comfort along the way. Today, Lydia, her parents, and her sponsors say yes. But they are not the only ones who commit to following this good road. All of us are called to participate in God's dream. That dream becomes a reality when gifts are given away abundantly and unconditionally with love. That dream happens when gifts are received with wonder and offered back with joy. God's dream becomes real when everyone is welcomed, no matter what. Jesus asks us to join him in making God's dream a visible reality. And it will take everything you and I can give it. And while it will be demanding, what Jesus asks is never harsh. When you need a little encouragement along the way, take comfort in the blessing that bears Claire's name. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road. May God bless all of us in this work now and always. Amen.